Well, we are starting off a new sermon series this morning that we're going to be in for the next 4 weeks entitled Generous Hearts, a Journey in Biblical Giving. And I want to, before we get into the series, I just want to say a couple of things by way of kind of preview and prologue, because I know, and I could be wrong about this, but that people hear that and they think, oh, here we go, we're going to talk about money for the next 4 weeks. And I would say that's not wrong. We will address that. But what we're talking about is so much bigger than that. And really today we're not even going to, we'll mention it, but money in this whole scope of what we're talking about is really tangential. And you like how I use that word? I don't even know that I used it correctly. It just, it's tangentially related to what we're talking about. It's an important thing, but it's not the core issue. And so so we're not going to talk about that today. We're not even going to really focus on our giving today. We're going to start where it all begins, really with something that we've been talking about for the previous series about the generous heart of our Heavenly Father. So before we talk about what comes out of our hands, we're going to talk about what comes out of our Father's heart toward us. And here's why. Because you can't understand biblical generosity until you first encounter the generous heart of God. And I think that's pretty safe to say that most things in the Christian life work like that. There's not a whole lot about the Christian life that makes any sense to somebody who has not experienced the redemptive grace of Jesus. And I would say, as somebody who's been a Christian for the majority of my life, there's still things in my Christian walk that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I do choose to trust, knowing that eventually, if it still doesn't make sense, I can still be okay with that. This is one of those things that I think we really have to tap into the root of. You do not become more generous just by trying harder to become more generous. Or feeling guilty because you can't be more generous. It has to start with discovering where that generosity finds its root. You become generous by being overwhelmed with how much you've already been given. And so today that's what we're going to explore. We're going to explore, as we do, I hope we do on some level every Sunday, the most generous being in the entire universe, our Heavenly Father, who gives us every good thing. Every breath we take, every moment we're given comes from His hand. And when we begin to understand that and we see His generosity, it really changes how we live. And then it, in turn, it also changes how we approach giving and how we think about all of those things. So this isn't, and I want to be very careful here. I make this promise to you. This isn't a guilt trip. And if at some point, if at some point in this journey you feel, guilt's the best word that I can use in this moment. I'm not intentionally trying to do that, but could it be that the Holy Spirit is convicting you? Because He does that. And it might not have anything to do with money, what the Holy Spirit is convicting you about. So I'm not setting out to pressure or to manipulate or anything like that. I just want to look at this beautiful one that we call our Heavenly Father and everything that He's done for us. And I think when we see that, when we really begin to grasp that how generous He is, then that will start to flow naturally out of our lives. So before we dive in, can we pray? And then we'll dive into the Scripture. Heavenly Father, we pause before we begin this message this morning to just remember who You are. You are the giver of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from You. Everything we have, everything we are, every breath we breathe comes from Your generous hand. And we don't want to rush past that. We don't want to just talk about generosity as a topic. We want to discover our generous Heavenly Father. We want our hearts to be captured by His blessings and His giving nature. We want to discover the beauty of a God who has held nothing back from us. So Holy Spirit, as we open the Scriptures here in just a moment, we pray that You would make them come alive to us, that the Word would do what only the Word can do, that it would reshape our thinking, that it would transform our hearts, and that it would stir up within us a generous spirit. We pray that we would discover and remember that generosity doesn't begin with anything that we can do or muster up. It begins in the heart of our Heavenly Father. So we come ready to listen. We come ready to be changed. We come ready to take whatever next right step You call us to take. Speak, Lord, for Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to begin by looking at what is probably one of the most used or referenced scriptures when it comes to this topic of generosity. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at this passage, or at least a couple verses in it, a couple times this series. So I'm not going to, we'll unpack context in another message, but I just want to read this. And as I do, I want you to listen carefully for what Paul says here. Because Paul makes multiple references in this passage to God's giving, to God's generosity and His provision. So listen to what Paul has to say. He says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the Scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So did you catch that? In 10 verses, Paul makes at least 8 references to God's generosity in God's giving. As I said, this is a passage that's often used when we talk about generosity, when we talk about giving, but it's really more about who God is than what we do. Paul cannot talk about acts of generosity without pointing to the source of all generosity. And he says it over and over again. He says, God's able to bless you abundantly, having all that you need. He supplies seed to the sower and then provides bread. I just read that. You will be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. Paul cannot talk about generosity without referencing the one who's responsible for generosity. God is the source. He's the supplier. He's the sustainer. And in case you think that this is the only place that Scripture talks about this, or Paul's the only one that talks about this, James talks about this as well. In James chapter 1, he says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Every good gift, every perfect gift, all of them come from God. The coffee you enjoyed this morning, oh my, that is a gift of God. Amen. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. That might get the biggest amen I get today. Your coffee was a gift of God. The fact that you're breathing and sitting here, that is a gift from God. The people you love, the home you live in, the abilities you have, the opportunities, those are all gifts from God. And notice what James says about him. He never changes. He never casts a shifting shadow, which tells me God's generosity is not mood dependent. I don't know. God doesn't have bad days, but if He did, it doesn't affect His generosity. He doesn't wake up in the morning and think, oh, I just can't do it with these people. I'm thankful for that. He doesn't bless you on your good days and then not bless you on your bad days. Scripture tells us that He causes His sun to shine on the wicked and the righteous. We're all recipients of God's generosity. His generous nature is constant, it is unchanging, and you can rely on it. And if you're wondering just how far that generosity goes, we're using a couple of famous verses in Scripture today. Probably the most well-known scripture in all of Scripture, John 3:16, tells us, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." I prefer the word everlasting. Eternal has kind of a time significance, which it is, but there's more to it than that. It's not just length of life that we get to enjoy. It's the quality of life that God has for us. And He purchased that by giving His own Son. I have one son. And I love him, and he gets on my nerves. But I could, man, nobody asked God to give His Son up. He did it on His own. He did it out of His generous nature. He didn't give a portion of His wealth. He didn't give a percentage. He gave everything He had. And He gave it, He gave His Son to rescue us, to redeem us, and to restore our relationship with Him. Think about what that means. When Adam and Eve decided to disobey God in the garden, they forfeited every right they had to God's generosity. And what was God's response to that? Well, it wasn't to stop giving to them. And it wasn't to expect them to pay for a debt that He knew they couldn't cover. He kept blessing. He kept giving. He kept calling. That's the heart of God. That's who He is. He is fundamentally and essentially generous. And what makes it even more remarkable is He didn't wait around for us to get into a place where we would deserve His generosity. Paul tells us in Romans that God poured out His blessings on us while we were still sinners. Not after we cleaned ourselves up, not after we got into a place where we could prove ourselves worthy, while we were still in rebellion, running away from Him, shaking our fists in His face. That's when He gave His Son for us. That's the God we serve. That's the one who calls us His children. This is the generous heart that beats at the very center of the universe. In short, God is the ultimate giver. I hear people say, you can't outgive God. Good luck. And if this is the God that we serve, if this is who He is, and if we are called to reflect Him, if we've been created to reflect Him, shouldn't that change everything about how we go through life? And not just in this area, in everything. Shouldn't it change how we view what we have? Shouldn't it change how we view what we give? When we truly grasp that God is the ultimate giver, that everything that we possess and everything that we have flows from His generous hand, and that He held nothing back, not even His own Son. It should transform everything about us. We stop seeing ourselves as owners, as those who've created everything, and we start seeing ourselves as stewards. We stop clutching tightly to what we have and we start holding it loosely, knowing that it all belongs to Him anyway. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And this was not a new concept in Scripture. So this wasn't something that just popped up in the New Testament. All the way back, the people of Israel understood the generosity of God. David, in 1 Chronicles 29, he and the people of Israel are gathering tons of gold and silver and turquoise and precious stones to build the temple. Here's an interesting thing about that. That's 1 Chronicles 29. Do you know what David found out in 1 Chronicles 28? He was not going to be the one to build the temple. So David is doing all of this. He's giving out of his own resources. The people are doing all. David knows, and I'm not even going to be the one who gets to see the fruit of what I'm giving. He understood how much God had blessed him and how much God had poured into his life. And here's what he prays in 1 Chronicles 29. He says, "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you." This is the king who's saying this. He understood that what we give, we're really just returning to God. It's like a child. If you've ever either given your child money or your child has gone and found money in your wallet, and they've gone and they've used that money to give you a gift, and they bring it to you, you know, they're so proud of what they've given you, and you smile. I mean, but it's not because it cost them anything. It was your money, right? But you see the heart of your child who just wants to give something to you. They don't have any resources that don't belong to you. That's kind of the same idea that with us, with God. We don't possess anything that God did not give us, that God did not put into our hands. Our jobs, God gave us the abilities, the opportunities, the strength. If you've come into money or have an inheritance, that God kind of orchestrated the situation to bring that about. If you've had success in the business world, God's the one who gave the ideas and the connections and opened the doors for that to happen. So why does all of this matter? Why am I spending so much time on this point? Because it's the foundation of everything. If when we truly understand that everything we have comes from God, it fundamentally changes our relationship to our possessions, to the opportunities that we have, to the moments that we're given. If I think that I've earned everything through my own effort, I'm going to try to hold on to that as tightly as I can. It's mine. I've worked for it. I deserve it. And anyone who suggests that I should give it away or do something else with it, including God, they're trying to take something away from me. But if I understand that God, everything that I have is a gift from God, that He is the source of all that I have, and that I'm simply a steward, it changes everything. Now giving isn't about losing something that's mine. It's about faithfully managing something that's God's. And that puts, I think that ups the pressure on how we steward and manage our resources. I mean, I think I'm pretty important. But if I understand that what I have belongs to God, that should really increase the uh, not the pressure, but the importance of what it is that we do with what God has given us. You are not, I am not, the owner of my resources. I'm the manager. God is the owner, and He's entrusted me and you with resources to manage for His purposes and His glory. That's what stewardship means. It's about partnering with God in His work in the world, about participating in His generous nature with what He has given us to use in that sense. And here's the beautiful thing. God is a generous owner. He doesn't give us all of these things and then demand that we give all of it back to Him. He wants us to enjoy the blessings that He's given us. He wants us to provide for our families. He wants us to enjoy good things in life, to experience the blessing of His provision. But in doing so, He's also inviting us to participate in His work as we generously steward those resources He's given us well. I would hasten to say, at least in terms of material generosity, there is not a more generous country on the face of the earth than the United States. But if we're honest, most of that giving is not cheerful giving. Most of it is, well, I suppose we should do this if nobody else is gonna. This isn't a guilt thing. I'm not trying to. But what if we started thinking of that as, this isn't somebody trying to take something away from me. This is something that God has entrusted me with, and I get to be a part of what He's doing. For some reason, God has chosen to bless me abundantly. Guess what? I get to be a part of His redemptive work in the world by generously giving to others. And it finds its root in the heart of the one who gave it to us. 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul says this, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich." You realize we've experienced every spiritual blessing in Christ because He gave everything up. He left heaven to be here, and not even one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. He was born into an out-of-the-way village, born in a barn. He was visited by shepherds. I mean, it's very different than what He had experienced. And yet He did all that for our sake. And not only that, He suffered rejection when He came, and death. A criminal's death. He gave up everything. Why? So that we might truly become rich in all of the things that matter. In grace, in mercy and forgiveness, in relationship with His Father, in purpose, hope, eternal life. That changes. And identity is something that I like to talk about a lot because I think we look all sorts of places for our identity. When we realize what went into purchasing this new identity we have with our Heavenly Father, that should change everything about how we view ourselves and our place in the world. We are not spiritual paupers. We're not orphans. We are beloved children of God who are heirs of the kingdom, co-heirs with Jesus to everything that God has for us. We are endowed with every spiritual blessing. That's how rich we are. And when we realize that, our relationship to all of the kind of material things that we deal with in life, it shifts, it changes. We discover that our security is not necessarily in our bank account. It's in Christ. Our identity is not in our net worth. It's in our status as God's beloved children. Our significance is not in what we own, but who possesses us. We belong to God. God's generosity toward us in Christ shapes our identity, and our identity shapes our generosity toward others. That's where it begins. It begins with our identity, who we are in Christ, and as we live that out, it changes everything about how we live our lives. Secure people, people who are secure in the right thing, in their identity in Jesus, those are the most generous people you will ever meet in your life. They may not give, and it may not be monetary generosity. They will give you every part of who they are because you're important to them. Their time, their attention, their prayer, their care. They bless because they know they've been blessed. They hold their possessions loosely. They prioritize their time to partner with God, to be a part of His work in the world. And they can do all of that because they're holding tightly to the one thing that won't let them down. Insecure people hoard. They clutch, they protect because they fear that the little that they have, is they're going to lose. There is a mindset that's out there that's called the myth of scarcity. The myth of scarcity says there's not enough. Resources are limited. If I give to you, there's less for me. I need to protect what I need, what I have, because I might not get more. That is a mindset, and this is different than living wisely with what God has given us. I think there's a fine line. Some people who are living that way think, well, I'm just living wisely with what God has given me. Well, here's a good indicator. If you're living with a scarcity mindset, your life is full of fear and anxiety. Because you're afraid that the little you have, you're going to lose and there's not going to be enough left over. It creates stinginess. People operating from a scarcity mindset hoard their resources. They clutch tightly to what they have, and they view generosity as a threat to their security. They see the world as a pie with limited slices, and if somebody else gets a slice, that means I don't get one. But here's the problem with that. That mindset is fundamentally incompatible with the gospel. The truth is, we serve a God of abundance. I don't even think there's a word in our language that captures just how abundant God's riches are. Jesus gave to give us abundant life. Not just enough to get by, not just to give us abundant life, life to the full. Ephesians tells us that God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Not just enough, not barely sufficient, immeasurably more. And He can do that because He possesses immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Philippians 4:19 tells us that God will meet our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How rich is God? He's paving streets in gold. We got potholes in our parking lot. That's how rich God is. His riches are inexhaustible, unlimited, and infinite. We do not serve a God who is running low on anything. We don't serve a God who's worried about having enough. We don't serve a God who operates from scarcity. And all you have to do is look at His track record. He created everything out of nothing. He fed a crowd of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish and had leftovers. He turned water into the best wine of the wedding. And He promised that if we give, it will be returned to us, pressed together, running over. When you believe God's abundance, you stop living out of a limited supply and you start living out of His unlimited provision in your life. Generous people can live that way. They live free because they've rejected the myth of scarcity and they've embraced the truth of God's abundance. Now, I want to be very clear here. Some people have more than others. God never asks us to give what we do not have. And so I want to be very clear on that. But again, there's a fine line between being wise with the little that some of us have and being stingy. Stingy people stay trapped in scarcity. They're always calculating, they're always hoarding, and ironically, they end up missing the blessing that comes with God's provision. But generous people, they're always just giving themselves. And again, this isn't just about this. It's about how we steward our lives and what God, the conversations that we have. Are you generous in your conversation? Does somebody feel better about having a conversation with you when they walk away? Have you spoken life into another person when you have conversations? When they pass by your presence, I mean, just, I don't want to get too weird or mystical, but do they feel that, man, I feel better about, and I'm not sure what it was. So I want to ask yourself, are you operating from scarcity or abundance? When you think about what God has blessed you with, do you hear or think there's not enough? Or do you trust that the God's provided before, He's going to continue to provide? He's not going to run out of anything. So before we close, I want to take this and I want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper quickly about where all of this comes from. Where do we find this really in the nature of God? Why is He so generous? What's the source of His giving nature? And the answer is found in the Trinity. Trinity is one of my favorite biblical concepts. It's more than a concept, it's a reality. The Trinity is the reality that God exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. It's one of the things that makes us so unique as Christians. We don't believe in three gods, but we believe in a God that exists in every way that He needs to exist. So here's the reality. Before creation, God didn't need anything. His own life was enough. It was an overflow of mutual delight and honor in giving. God didn't become generous when He created. Generosity was an essential part of His nature. He didn't create because He had to. He created because He wanted to. And we see that in how the three members of the Trinity relate to each other. The Father gives all authority to the Son gives all glory to the Father, and the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son and points us to the Father. I love the image that the theologians use of the dance. If you've ever seen a beautiful ballroom dancing couple, they flow so much that you can't tell where one starts and the other one ends. That's kind of how it is in the Trinity. They are constantly pouring into each other, giving of themselves, not only to each other, but to us. So God didn't become generous when He created the world. He didn't start giving when He made humanity. Generosity was a part of His eternal nature because God is, in His very essence, a community of self-giving love. And when God created you, and when He created me, that is the image He created us in. That means we were designed for generous relationship. We were designed to live in relationships of self-giving love. We were made to give, to bless, to share, to contribute. Generosity is not just a nice virtue to cultivate, and hopefully we can be generous people at some point. It's part of what it means to be human in the best way possible. It's part of what it means to reflect the image of the God who made us. When we give generously, we're not just being nice or doing our duty. We are reflecting the character of the triune God. And when we hoard, when we clutch, when we live with a mindset that tells us I need to hold in onto all of this because there's not enough, we're not just being ungenerous. We're living in a way that contradicts our design. We're going against the grain of how God made us to be. So when we give, it's not just we're being nice to somebody else. It's healthy for us because that's who God created. It's not just good for the recipient. It's good for the giver. It aligns us with our design. It connects us to the generous heart of our Creator. It allows us to participate in the self-giving love that flows within the Trinity. We were made for this. Generosity isn't foreign to our nature, it's fundamental to it. So how do we take all of this from theory to practice? How do we move from understanding God's generosity to experiencing it more fully in our daily lives? Well, here's one next right step for you to take this week. It's called the gratitude exercise. And I think this is probably something that I've encouraged you to do before, but I'm going to do it again. Sometime in the next day or two, and I think that's an important thing. Some of these things that we engage in, the sooner we do them, the better. Because life gets busy. Sometime in the next day or two, find a quiet place and list 10 specific ways, 10 specific things God has given you this week. Now, we're all thankful for salvation. We're all thankful for eternal life. Those are important things. And those are certainly gifts from God. But I want you to think about specific, concrete gifts that God has given you this past week. It might be a conversation with a friend that encouraged you. Maybe it was the cup of coffee that you enjoyed this morning. Maybe it's a problem that you've had that got resolved. Maybe it's a beautiful sunset that you've witnessed. No, the fall sunsets are incredible. Maybe it's a hug from your child or grandchild. 10 things, specific things, gifts from God this week. And as you make your list, I want you to pause after each one and thank God for it. Don't rush through it. Let yourself feel the weight of God's generosity. And here's what I think is going to happen if you do this. You're going to start noticing God's gifts everywhere you look. I think VBS a few years ago, God sightings, Yes. The kids have something to teach us about how we look at life. You'll start seeing God's generous hand everywhere you look. And you'll, especially in the little things. My car started. Oh, man. That's a gift of God. And it's a gift of mechanics who know how to fix things. But that's a gift of God. You'll start to recognize that your life is absolutely saturated with God's generosity. Every good thing, every moment of joy, every provision, every blessing, it all comes from His hand. And I also hope that as you realize those things, you will grow in your gratitude for just how generous God is. And that you'll find your heart naturally becoming more generous toward others. Gratitude and generosity, they are connected. When you're aware of how much you've been given, it builds gratitude in you, and as you realize that, then you tend to become more generous yourself. So ask God to show you after you go through this. Here's the second next right step. Ask Him to show you one way that you can reflect His generosity to someone else this week. It might be a financial gift. Or maybe it's just your time, your attention, your prayer. Maybe it's an encouraging word. Just one way to pass on the generosity that you've received. God is generous. Extravagantly so. Constantly generous. Everything we have comes from His hand. And His generosity toward us in Christ, that should be what ultimately shapes everything about who we are and how we live. This is what we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to build on this foundation. We'll talk about trusting God with our resources, about the heart attitudes that make generosity joyful, and about practical steps that we can take in becoming more biblically generous people. But it all starts here. It starts with the generous heart of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Would you pray with me?